Good morning, everybody. You know, how many of you like to argue? I mean, I know of arguments that last generations, like the Hatfields and McCoys. I know of sibling rivalries that last even to generation upon generation for no reason at all. But here in Genesis 30, we're going to see a rivalry between two sisters, Leah and Rachel, who are Jacob's wives. They are fighting for Jacob's love. Now, to give you guys a little bit of background, we're going back to the end of Genesis 29, which Donald did such a wonderful job on. We see in Genesis 29:18, you turn there. In verse 18, Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, "I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years just to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. So here we think, plain and simple, Jacob's going to be married to Rachel and all is going to be happy. Not so fast. What, verse 23, "But when evening came, he took his daughter," when evening came, he, meaning Laban, "took his daughter Leah to give to Jacob and to lay with her. And Laban gave his servant girl Zilpha to his daughter as a maidservant." So when morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me?" So then Laban goes on to say that it's customary that he gives off his older child first. So Laban adds on another 7 years. And so Jacob does it. So now we're going to go to verse 31. It says, "When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren." Now you got to understand, through those 14 years, Jacob was loving on Rachel. Jacob had all that love for Rachel and not a peep for Leah. So here we're going to see in verse 32, Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." Okay, so she names her son because the Lord has seen her misery. Okay. That's interesting. Let's see the next verse. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, she gave me this one too." So she gave him Simeon. I'm sorry, I never heard of another child being born this one too, but maybe that's just me, you know. Going on in verse 34, again she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Now at last my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him 3 sons. So he was named Levi. Really? We're going to go to verse 35. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." So she named him Judah and stopped having children. Now, wait a minute. Usually when we think of names for babies, we think of, because of a family member, we think of a common name. We think of love out of affection. You know, this is Valentine's Day, and happy Valentine's Day to everyone. But when we look at the babies that Leah started by giving birth to, if you notice, she is naming them because of what Jacob is not doing. And she's getting jealous. So now we're going to see what goes on as we go into chapter 30. Starting in verse 1. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing any, Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I'll die." Jacob became angry with her and said, "Am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children?" Then she said, "Here is Bilhah, my servant, maidservant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me, and through you I can too build a family." And so she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife. Jacob slept with her. So now Rachel, out of frustration, gives her maid Bilhah in a surrogate relationship to Jacob. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like what Sarah did for Abraham sleeping with Hagar. Doesn't it sound familiar? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. So we see this happening, you know, and despite Rachel's great beauty, you know, she was also near despair. You know, no doubt Leah even said, "If I only had my sister's beauty and the love of my husband as she does." But yet, on the other side, you may have Rachel saying, "Well, if I only had sons like my sister." I mean, I'm sorry, but beautiful or plain, we all have our problems. We need to stop looking at how God deals with others and set your eyes upon Him. I mean, when Leah was naming the kids and in verse 35 of chapter 29, she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." Shouldn't she have been praising the Lord the other four times, the other three times she bore a child? I mean, I'm sorry, but to me that just doesn't seem right. So we're going to go on to verse 5. It says, "And she became pregnant and bore a son. Then Rachel said, 'God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son. Behold, because of this, she named him Dan.'" Okay, now we see that Rachel is almost as conceited as Leah is, because of the fact that she said that God has vindicated me. And the name Dan means vindicated. I mean, those that have children, or those who think of having children, how many of you would name your children something that would be laughed at purposely? I mean, I don't know many people that remember the Frank Zappa. But anyhow, he had kids he named Moon Unit and Dweezil. I mean, I'm sorry, but why would you sit there and purposely try to ruin your child's good name before it's even born? You know, so we go on to verse 7. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob's second son. Then Rachel said, "I have had a struggle with my great struggle with my sister, and I have won." So she named him Naphtali. Naphtali means "my struggle." So here we're seeing so far the pattern is Leah was complaining about the struggle with her and her husband. Now Rachel so far has been complaining about the struggle between Rachel and Leah with these children, as far as how they name these children. You know, and, you know, can a woman get so low that she'll hit her sister over the head with a baby? You know, and say, you know, I mean, Rachel did. You know, let's go to verse 9. When Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she took her maidservant Zilpha and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Okay, so Leah is unable to give. Now, Leah is out of the picture, and Zilpha is tagged in. Verse 10. Leah's servant Zilpha bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, what a good name, what good fortune. So she named him Gad. Gad meaning good fortune or a troop. Hold on a minute now. Good fortune or a troop. When I think of those words, I think of two different terms. I'm sorry. When I think of a troop, I think of a soldier. When I think of good troop, I mean, when I think of good fortune, I think it's a state of being for somebody. How can it be one or the other? I mean, I'm confused there. Maybe somebody can help me out with that. Excuse me just a second. You know, the fact is the wives of Jacob are still arguing and using their children as pawns in a power struggle within the home. You know, Leah apparently has lost the peace when her fourth child is born, so, and she no longer has the peace that it brings. You know, so in verse 12, how appropriate. Then Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, how happy I am. The women will call me happy. So she named him Asher, meaning happy. I mean, really. During the wheat harvest, Reuben went out to the man in the fields and found some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother Leah. Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. But she said to her, wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take away my son's mandrakes too? Now I'm going to stop there for a minute. She was the one that was trying to steal Rachel's husband. To where her father deceived Jacob, and he ended up doing another 7 years. Am I right or am I wrong on that? So, very well, Rachel said. He can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes. So when Jacob came in from the fields that evening, Leah went out to meet him. You must sleep with me, she said. I have hired you with my son's mandrakes. So he slept with her that night. Okay, I'm sorry, but, you know, for those who don't know, mandrakes were called love apples back in Hebrew. You know, they were thought and still are among some people believed to increase fertility among women. And because Leah had the mandrakes, she knew that Jacob would have relationships with her. He would sleep with her, and believing there was something greater that would make her pregnant. Now, we don't know if the effect of the mandrakes was something biological or functions like a placebo. But whatever strange agencies God may allow to be used, the real factor there is God's sovereign will, as far as whether he's going to allow it or not. You know, the hostility between Leah and Rachel is as obvious as it is painful. You know, it must have been terrible to live in a home where one wife believed the other had stolen from a husband from her. You know, this confirms the wisdom of God's original plan, as expressed in Genesis 2:24. One man to one woman in a one-flesh relationship. I'm going to say that again. One man to one woman in a one flesh relationship. Now, isn't any wonder that this family has strife and bloodshed? You know, children reflect the atmosphere of the home. Later, Leviticus 18:18 forbids the marrying of sisters. And this shows why. Jacob's ninth son, born to Leah, is named Issachar, meaning a reward. Leah saw this son as a reward from God because she was generous enough to offer her maid to Jacob. Now we're going to go on to verse 19. Leah again conceived and bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, God has presented me with a precious gift. Oh, now it's a precious gift. Then Leah said, this time my husband will treat me with honor because I have borne him six sons. So she named him Zebulun. Okay. Meaning dwelling. You know, in the pain of her heart, you know, she still waits for that husband to truly love her and live with her. You know, she hopes the sheer quantity of sons will win over his heart. Sorry about that, I get a drink. But sometime later, she gives birth to a daughter and named her Dinah. Okay, so we have a daughter that's born to Jacob through Leah. There's no special name for her. The ungodly competition has, in one sense, ended. You know, it's kind of like a Texas Hold'em style poker. You know, I bid one wife, loved and beautiful. Well, I bid you one wife and four sons. Well, I'll match you one wife and raise you a concubine plus two sons. You know, the competition goes on and on and on. You know, nobody wins at the competition. But now we're going to go on to verse 32. I'm sorry, 22. Maybe we find something happier, possibly. Then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and opened up her womb. Wow. The idea of God's sovereignty over the womb is a persistent theme in the Bible. I mean, God granted twins to Rebecca in Genesis 25:21. He opens the womb of Leah, Genesis 29:31. He closes the womb of Hannah, 1 Samuel 1:5. You know, the purposes of God in opening one and closing the other may be completely unknowable. But you see, God has his purposes. Now let's look at verse 23. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And said, God has taken away my disgrace. She named him Joseph. And she said, may the Lord add to me another son. And the word Joseph means, may he add. Notice the difference in her attitude after she had Joseph as one of her own, as opposed to when she had her concubine helping her deliver the children. I mean, brothers and sisters, we've seen a fight above any other, against any other fight. We're talking about flesh on flesh. We're talking about flesh that didn't have a chance to be born, being put in an awkward position, not only for birth, but for life. because of who they're named. And because of the family that they're going to grow up in. They weren't going to grow up in a lovey-dovey family. I mean, it just couldn't happen. 12 men, 12 boys, one girl. It just couldn't happen. But do you also realize these are the 12 tribes of Israel that are given birth to? You know, brothers and sisters, you know, I asked the question at the beginning, how many people like to argue? I don't like to argue. I guess you could call it a rivalry in my family. It's very hostile. I wish it didn't happen. And, you know, I wish it would end. But, you know, one thing I have learned through this lesson is I'm not fighting for my mother's love. And I'm not fighting for my brother's love. Because one thing I'll always have, in spite of this rivalry, is God's love. Brothers and sisters, let's just be very considerate of each other. Be considerate of each and every relationship we have. Let there be no bitterness among us. Let there be no strife that sets us apart. Let there be no divisiveness. But as we think about this message, just remember to love one another. And with that, to God be the glory.